Welcome to Female Empowered, a podcast for female fitness and wellness professionals and business owners looking for real talk about the ins and outs of the industry. I'm Krista Gurka, an accidental entrepreneur turned founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar health and wellness business. In this podcast, I'll be sharing expert insights and having real conversations about what it means to show up, thrive, and of course, get paid. We'll talk about what works, what doesn't, and what really happens behind the scenes of a client-based business. All so you can take away sound advice and actionable steps that help you become a more successful and confident business owner, all on your own terms. So let's dive in. The Female Empowered Podcast is brought to you by the Beyond the Movement Inner Circle, my high-touch mastermind for female boutique fitness, wellness, and healthcare entrepreneurs. The Inner Circle supports women who have already surpassed the six-figure mark in their fitness business and are ready to grow, to continue to grow their revenue to multiple six figures and now take their profit beyond the six-figure mark as well, while stepping back from the grind of the day-to-day operations. That's right. Imagine saying goodbye to answering emails at midnight, having clients text you on your personal cell phone, covering for staff that call out at the last minute, or working 80-hour weeks during the holidays to cover for staff on vacation. Well, how is that even possible, are you thinking? I used to think the same. I used to think that was literally an oxymoron, but I have been able to create a business model that allows me to run a seven-figure business, take home a six-figure salary while going into my studios less than 10 hours a week. And that's really if I wanted to. So how can you make this happen for you? By growing a team that will step up so you can step back. And that is exactly what we work on in this Inner Circle mentorship. Our Inner Circle members run Pilates studios, yoga studios, CrossFit gyms, and cash-based physical therapy practices. And what they all finally realized was that in order to really have the freedom they dreamed of when starting their businesses, they needed a stronger structure, streamlined systems, and a sustainable strategy that allowed them to confidently take a step back from the day-to-day operations. And those are the exact three things we work on in this program. We help you structure your business so that you get the right people in the right seats. Then we look to streamline your systems, getting the right people in the right seats, performing the right processes. Then we work on a strategy that will allow all of the operations to run in a smooth, simple, optimized way. That is, fourth and foremost, sustainable for your business growth and your personal life. The current investment to enroll in the Inner Circle is $900 a month for 12 months or a paid in full discount of $9,900. And it does require an application. To learn more about why my program is unique, why I am unique, and what's unique about working with me personally, and to get on the wait list for the next cohort, go ahead and visit my website, www.kristagurka.com/mentorship. Seriously, we only enroll 2 to 3 women each quarter. So go get on the wait list now so you can get to the front of the line. Now let's get into today's show. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode here at the Female Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Krista Gurka, and today we have another guest episode, which I had not done a bunch of these at the end of 2022, but I'm back to doing them in 2023. And I find at least it gives me someone to talk to instead of just staring at a blank screen. So I think I love having the conversation. So today we have Danielle Hayden here from Kickstart Accounting, and I'm going to read. So I am reading if you think that I'm sounding like a, you know, very robotic, but I'm going to read a little bit of her bio and then I'm going to have her introduce herself. So she is, I love this, a reformed corporate CFO. I love that. Who's on a mission to help rule-breaking female entrepreneurs understand their numbers so they can gain the confidence needed to create sustainable profits. After spending 10 plus years in the boardroom as a corporate finance officer, Danielle is now in her sweet spot as the CEO of Kickstart Accounting, where she helps business owners with bookkeeping, financial analysis, and education. She is the author of the Profit Planner book series. When Danielle isn't in her money mindset, you can find her hiking or spending time with her family, which we just talked about pre-show is out in Ohio, which is a little chilly right now.
Yeah, we're not doing a ton of hiking right now. Yeah. I'm like stuck on this stupid treadmill.
Yeah, indoors. So Danielle, if you would, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm glad you're doing guest episodes in 2023.
So. My pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am a mama from the Midwest. I had started Kickstart Accounting Inc. 8 years ago. I always mentioned corporate, a reformed corporate CFO because, you know, I'm one of those people who I came from the corporate world, but I didn't hate it. Right. So I wasn't shaming the corporate world as I made my exit. I actually loved my experience there. And I got to learn a lot from the investors and the private equity firms and the management team and my CEO. And that's really what created this firm is all of that experience that I learned on how these individuals made business decisions. What numbers did they need? How did they remove the emotion or find a balance between emotion and data? And then how can we bring that to especially women business owners so that they can make better business decisions? As I came into this business world, I realized we can't make business decisions because we don't have bookkeeping in place, right? So we have to have bookkeeping and then we have to be able to make business decisions because we are on a mission to make sure that we stay in business. We have healthy, long-term, sustainable businesses, and we have an opportunity to really make an impact in the world.
Yeah. I love that you said healthy and sustainable, because I think that is important, both healthy from a business perspective, a personal perspective, right? And then having a sustainable business. So could you go into like, what is your educational background? So what led you to be a CFO in the corporate space?
No. I think my dad was making fun of me for a while there that I was just a professional student. So I took a long time in school. I actually was a hairdresser and personal trainer right after I graduated high school. Yeah. So I do have the left and right brain. So I was working as a hairdresser and personal trainer and decided that I wanted to become a business owner. And so I actually went to school for business management because that's what I thought I wanted to do. And stumbled across accounting on the way and took one major detour, life detour, while I was getting my bachelor's degree, and then ended up spending a lot of time in they call it the big four accounting firm. So spent some time in a big four accounting firm and then eventually landed in public accounting as I finished my master's degree and my CPA. So during that time, I was just like a freaking sponge learning everything I possibly could and how that impacted our CEO, how it impacted the business owners, the investors of these different businesses that I worked for. And it's interesting when you are working as the same time as you are getting your master's degree, they teach you these concepts in school and you're able to really say, hold on, let me pull back the curtain. And what does this actually really mean in the real world? And it was a really interesting experience to be able to take both of those at the same time. So I could apply that knowledge that I was getting in both worlds and keep on pulling it and keep on seeing how that worked and then be able to eventually bring that to entrepreneurship.
That, I mean, then you came full circle and then you did, now you are the CEO of your own business.
Yeah.
I love hearing people's like origin stories because I think they're very interesting. And most of the people that I interview or even in my industry kind of, their origin stories are very organic and they usually kind of, there are detours and then they come back, you know, and they end up in the right spot. So I always love hearing how people got to where they are today. So from big corporate, right? Or basically, like, you know, when we talk, I think some people also, I don't have a issue with corporate either. I've learned a lot from corporate experience. How did you then take what you learned in maybe a bigger firm and then translate that down to a small business owner? Because numbers are numbers, but you can also get super in the weeds with data and analytics. And so that's what I think a lot of small business owners are fearful of, specifically women. And so how did you take that experience from like a bigger, whether it's, you know, C-suite or executive team, and then bring it down to like small business owners?
So it's really interesting. And I think a lot of clients are always surprised to know this. It's the same damn numbers, right? Like, they're not getting anything different than what my investors got 10 years ago, right? They get the same freaking numbers. What we needed to do is find a way for business owners to allow themselves to receive the information, to allow themselves to, one, ask for help, to say, I don't know bookkeeping. I don't have the experience. I don't have the expertise, and allow somebody else to set up QuickBooks in a way that's going to be meaningful. That's our first step. Every time we work with a client, we have to first apply our strategic framework to their QuickBooks file, because right now it's probably not set up in a meaningful way. So even if you're in there classifying transactions, it's not set up in a way that you can pull the information back up. So first, it's getting things set up in a way that's really meaningful, and then being willing to look at the numbers. A lot of times people get on a discovery call with us and they're like, here, like, you know, and then when they get their first email from us, they're like, I don't know what to do with this. What does this mean? What is it saying? So it's finding a space where you can ask questions and be able to say, okay, this person, this accountant, this company that I've hired, they're not judging me. And I'm not afraid to ask them questions, and I'm able to receive the information that they're saying in a way that is not just meaningful, but in a way that's not avoidant, right? That it's acceptance. You're able to accept the information as data points. And then once you learn how to read the information, you really become a competent and empowered business owner. So it's the same numbers, right? We're taking the same exact numbers that we used in corporate. We've just changed how we deliver them and the messaging around them. But a lot of the same charts we send our clients, I use the same charts in our PowerPoint presentations for the investors and the board of directors, because people like charts. People like to be able to have a visual image of how they're doing, but our messaging is different, and saying it's okay to come here, and it's okay to be afraid of these numbers, and it's okay to ask questions. So that's the piece that I learned throughout the years. I didn't realize that there was a money mindset thing around entrepreneurship when I started the firm. But over time, what we learned was that there's a money mindset piece of this. And if we could just be as loving, kind, and accepting of our clients as possible, it creates an atmosphere that they're able to accept the information that we're giving them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're absolutely right in that last piece of talking about money mindset and people's relationships with money that can be like very, very deep-seated, very subconscious. They don't even realize. And so there's sometimes resistance to that because of all of that stuff that comes up. So, okay. So if we can circle back to QuickBooks for a second, because we did one of our monthly calls in one of our group sessions yesterday, Monday. And this is where I'm like tough love sometimes. And I'm like, listen, if you don't come to this next call with a QuickBooks account, I am going to not let you be in the call. I was like, you need to get QuickBooks. I know. It's been like a year. And I was like, listen, you need to look at QuickBooks and have somebody help you with that. Like, you can't just keep things on you're past the point of a spreadsheet at this point. Right? Your business is bigger. You need to be able to look at things in a different way. So when you're helping people, and do people come to you usually with QuickBooks already set up? Are there people that are still doing things in a spreadsheet? Are there people that just basically have a folder with like notes and stuff? And then what are some of the things that you're helping them with organizing, like in QuickBooks, when you said we kind of help you organize it in a meaningful way?
Yeah. So yes to all of that. All of those scenarios are still true. So it has surprised me how long people can be in business without having QuickBooks, without having some type of software, and they're just kind of limping along. They're not really actually rebuilding the muscle and at full capacity. They're just literally limping along and making good guesses. So we've seen, and I don't quite know the percentage, but we've definitely seen business owners who've been in business for a long time that don't have QuickBooks. We've seen some people who kind of have a band-aid over a gaping wound that might be, right? That might be some type of spreadsheet where they're keeping track of something. So I consider that like a band-aid. It's still bleeding all over the place, yeah. Right? But we have a band-aid over it. And then we have some people who are commingling business and personal. And those are usually the people who have a shoebox of receipts because they're commingling business and personal. And those clients, we only actually accept them if they commit to stopping right then and there.
Okay.
They have to stop commingling right then and there. Otherwise we will, like if they continue on for another 3 months, we will drop them as a client because tough love, you are a business owner and you are responsible for keeping your business and your personal separate. It's called piercing the corporate veil. The IRS says you cannot commingle them. I don't care what you think. So, right. So that's a big piece of it. So those people, they're the ones with the box of receipts. So when somebody comes to us, no matter what the situation is, we accept every single client with kindness and love because we get it. This is a topic that's really, really difficult. So a lot of people will put their avoidance hat on and they will avoid the topic completely. So when clients come in, the first step is if they don't have QuickBooks today, we set up the QuickBooks file for them and apply our framework to their new QuickBooks file. If they have a QuickBooks file already built out, we will take that QuickBooks file and we'll create the foundation for success moving forward. That means we're still applying that strategic framework to their QuickBooks file. We're making sure that everything's reconciled and their balance sheet is clean and ready. We cannot move forward until we know that everything is accurate historically. And that might mean dropping that old file and creating a new one, right? If it's too messed up, we might even say, this isn't worth it. Let's just part ways with that old file that's not correct and really just start fresh and start new. And then, you know, a lot of our clients will share their old spreadsheets with us, but usually it's not very helpful because we find that it doesn't encompass everything because they're just using the expenses that they can remember. They're not actually using their bank account, using their credit cards and reconciling every month. So we might use that spreadsheet, but usually we just say you can stop keeping track of that spreadsheet and we'll use QuickBooks moving forward as the master file.
Yeah. It's been, QuickBooks has definitely been like a learning curve for me. I mean, I definitely remember when I first started using QuickBooks, I would ask my husband, I'd be like, can you please help me? Can you help me here? I need you to help me. Or I'd reconcile it and be off like $42 and be like, where is the $42 coming from? So hiring a bookkeeper, I tell people this all the time, was the first non-revenue generating service that I hired. And when I say non-revenue generating, I just mean like not client facing specifically in our industry, right? And so it was the best decision ever. Cause what took me a couple hours to do, just cause I didn't really know, I wasn't as agile, right?
It probably wasn't accurate anyway.
Yeah. And it was like, and I was like, listen, but I had this, what I had wrapped up in my head was I'm a business owner. I should do this. I don't want to have other people have access to my numbers. You know, the whole thing of like, now I might get audited if I don't, it was like all this stuff in my head that
it's vulnerable. Yeah. It's a vulnerable place.
Yeah. But it was the best thing ever. It was the best thing ever. And I really, really encourage business owners too, especially small business owners. Cause I say, you know, your time is better spent doing other things in your business, and then having someone who this is their expertise do it. And then it doesn't mean you don't know anything about your numbers. That's not at all. You just have, you're in a partnership with a yeah. company like yours, and then you learn from that. Right. And so you can give us accurate information, then you're not emotionally invested as much. So as we are.
Yeah. Well, you're probably actually knowing your numbers better than if you were doing it, because, you know, a lot of business owners will say, well, yeah, I know my numbers, or I go into QuickBooks, but what they're going into QuickBooks to do is process transactions. So they're guessing on the categories. They don't strategically fundamentally know what that means to actually categorize them or update QuickBooks. And so that's all they do, right? So they update it, and then they're like, okay, this task is done. Now our clients, they don't actually ever go into QuickBooks. So when they are spending time in their numbers, what they're actually spending the time doing is looking at the numbers that we send them. So we pull all the financial statements and actually interpret them for them. So what's working, what's not working, what are some highlights that we need to pay attention to? And so when our clients are spending that time, it's in a meaningful way to actually know your numbers. I just want to say one other thing is that we're often a lot of our clients, we are often their first hire. So I'm glad you said that, because it is very often that a lot of people say to me, well, I don't know who else I can hire because I don't know if I can afford it or not, because I don't know the numbers. And so we come in as that first hire so that then they can make all those other business decisions really, really confidently. And that's why, and not all firms are like this, so I'll just speak from our experience. Our pricing starts where you are at as a business owner. So just because you're getting help doesn't mean you're paying as much as the business owner who's bringing in $500,000 or the client who's bringing in $1 million. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Our pricing scales with you. So if you're bringing in $75,000 this year, you are on that package and paying according to your size. So I think that's really important to know.
Yeah, I think that's great. I you're right. I've never heard that before. So, mm-hmm. Well, it also, I would imagine that the more, well, I think it kind of depends on your business model and structure, but sometimes the bigger the business, right, the more intricacies on the P&L, et cetera, but not always. I mean, there are some
not always
online businesses or something that runs really, really lean. Their overhead is really, really lean. And so, yeah, maybe I'm going to take that back. But what could you give a brief explanation of, because a lot of people, I think, get confused between the different financial statements. So can you tell us in your own words, what the difference between a P&L, a balance sheet, and then like the cash flow statement is? Because I think they're confusing for people.
Yeah, they are really confusing. I can't stress enough, walk through your P&L, balance sheet, and cash flow statement with your money team. So I call your bookkeeper, your accountant, your money team, make sure that you're reviewing these statements with them at least on a quarterly basis. So your P&L, also called profit and loss, also called income statement. We like to confuse you as much as possible. So we call them a bunch of different things. This is the statement that is including your revenue. So all of the sales that are coming in. And then it is all of the operating expenses and cost of goods sold to your business. So all of your personnel expenses, your contractors, Zoom, right? Like every single thing that comes out of your business that is required to run your business is reflected on the P&L. And then I'm going to throw a giant wrench into that, except for your owner's draws, which is a big component. So the P&L, the purpose of the P&L is so you can see not just the revenue, because that's a vanity metric. Mm-hmm. The real value of the P&L is so that you can see the profit and the loss of your business. So are you profitable or are you taking a loss as a business owner? This gives you the clues of what to look at deeper. If I'm profitable, hell yeah. What does the load of my time look like? If I'm losing money, oh shit, I have to take action. Where are the data points on this P&L that I need to direct my attention to so I can stop losing money right away? So that's the P&L. The balance sheet is done at the end of each month, and it will record all of your assets and all of your liabilities. Again, a lot of big accounting words. An asset just means, what do you own? So in this industry, it's generally cash, maybe accounts receivable, maybe some inventory. In terms of liabilities, that means, what do you owe? And post-pandemic, we actually see more people with debt than ever before. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be, where are all of your credit card statements, your EIDL loan, any other loans that you might have as a business? And then your equity section. The equity section is where all of your owner's draws are recorded. So if you are an LLC, not an S corp, whenever you take money out of your business to pay for a personal expense, that's considered an owner's draw. So it's a really important report to look at to say, do I have enough money to cover my operating expenses the next month or 3 months? And do I have enough cash to be able to take care of my liabilities as they come due in the future? So it's kind of how you tie those two together. Well, I'll pause. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally makes sense. Somebody explained it to me one time, because I used to have a really hard time understanding what the balance sheet was. And they were like, the balance sheet is, say you bought a house, right? But you technically only own the two windows of the house because you're on a mortgage, you owe a lot more. And I was like, oh, I kind of see like that makes sense now. It's like what you owe versus what you own. And you're right, the owner's draws get very confusing for people because if you are an LLC and you're taking owner's draws, versus if you're an S corp and you're getting paid a salary, they show up on two different reports. Sure, and so that gets very confusing for people, you know?
Yes. And I think that's why the cash flow statement is so important. So the cash flow statement, then, you know, the number one question that we get from our clients is, you're telling me that I'm profitable, but I have no cash. So
I'm so glad you said that, because that was my question was going to be. So can you explain what happens when people are profitable, but they have no cash? So perfect.
Yep. So what happens is that's where your cash flow statement walks you through, where the heck did your cash go? Right. So the cash flow statement is going to tie all that out together. If you have QuickBooks, and this is why I tell people, do not use that spreadsheet that you have. Your spreadsheet is fundamentally wrong because it's not tying together these three reports. And you can't look at this type of information. If you ask your spreadsheet, well, where did all my cash go? It can't answer that question for you. So what the cash flow does is it says, here's my profit. And then here are all the other places that my cash went. And frequently that is paying for owner's draws, because we forget, maybe we have some personal expenses that we accidentally put on our business card, and then our debt payments. That is the other really big one. We had business expenses that hit our credit card in previous periods, and we're outlaying the cash now. And especially at year end time, if we had the expense in 2022, but then we're paying the credit card payment in 2023, we might think, hold on, 2023, it says I'm really profitable year to date. Why? Right? But cash is leaving my door, but it's paying for the debts that you accumulated in 2022.
That's perfect. And the reason I bring that up is because we literally just had this conversation with my team, because we had a great January and we're uber profitable, but then the cash flow was lower. And we were just talking about it with the team and like why that is and why there's no, like what's going to happen. And then there's also stuff of a February payroll hit technically like at the end of January when it came out of the bank account. So there's like all different rent hit, like I prepay my rent. Anyways, there's lots of stuff, but it's really important. Like you said, you can be profitable, but not have cash in the bank. And the biggest reason people go out of business, especially as small business owners, is not profitability. It's not enough cash. And that's a lot of what we saw during the pandemic, especially as service-based businesses, brick and mortar locations, people already 30 or 60 days into the pandemic didn't have enough cash to carry the business. And so we saw a lot of that in our service industry. And so it's important to, you know, when people say, especially in our industry, well, you know, I'm not in it for the money. Well, that you don't have to be in it for the money.
Doesn't matter.
But if you don't have money, your business is going to close. Like that's, I get that, but you have to understand something, you know, or your business will close. So
what healthy, sustainable businesses.
Yes. I love that. Hey there, listeners. I wanted to interrupt the show just briefly to ask you one question. Do you have a system to track your new prospects or leads into your business? Or are you simply just overwhelmed by how to actually create that kind of system? You're asking yourself, like, should it be paper and pen, a bunch of sticky notes on your desk or computer, or a spreadsheet? But then how do you actually create that kind of spreadsheet? Well, here's a stat that I found very interesting. Businesses that have a system in place for tracking and following up on leads have a 47% higher conversion rate than those that do not. It's a staggering statistic. And HubSpot found that businesses that automate their lead follow-up process see a 10% or greater increase in revenue within 6 months. Easy work to bring more money into your business. All right. So this really emphasizes the importance of having an organized approach to lead tracking and a follow-up to maximize sales opportunities. So to take the stress and overwhelm and work out of that, I created a simple, easy to use lead tracker specifically for boutique wellness and fitness businesses, just like ours. And it's completely free. All you have to do is visit www.kristagurka.com/leads, enter the promo code podcast, and grab your free lead tracker today. Now let's get back into. Let's talk a little bit about some of the metrics that you recommend to small businesses. I think you said you had four metrics that you like to track or trend. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. And this is gonna help you with our previous conversation by tracking these metrics. So the first number is your gross profit. And you can find this metric by going to your income statement. I really like to run, there's a report in QuickBooks called your profit and loss by month, and you'll enter in the dates for the last 12 months. You could even do the last 24 months, but the idea is we want to be able to see some trends, right? What has been happening? And your gross profit is sales minus any direct cost. So this is direct labor or any other expenses that you have to have in your business in order for you to be able to serve your clients. This is not your facility cost. This isn't rent, but this is you are paying somebody to take that client. Right? That is how we find our gross profit. And so that is something we'll look at for the next 24 months. And then we'll look at on a moving forward basis. And the idea here is that we're looking for trends. Oh, I wasn't as profitable this month. Well, why? Maybe I took a vacation or I took a 1 month sabbatical. I had to pay people to keep on bringing revenue into my business. Wow, I'm not as profitable that month. What did I do differently? So that is just the direct cost. So that's number one is gross profit by month. Number two is your net income or loss. So we're fast forwarding all the way down to the bottom of the income statement. Same report. We're going to run this for the last 12 to 24 months. And it's a lot of the same trends that we're looking for. When we send this to our clients, we'll literally highlight in yellow or like red, yellow, and green. Who's losing money? What months are we losing money? What months are we profitable? And then we can go up the income statement and find out why. And we can ask ourselves really good questions. Now, if we look at that and we don't ask ourselves any questions, it's useless, mm-hmm. right? We mm-hmm. have to take the profit or loss and then go up the statement and ask ourselves questions. What happened during that month to create a profit? What happened in that month to create a loss?
That's great. Perfect.
Right. That's number two. Yeah. Number three is our monthly operating cash burn or cash outlay. Okay. And this is going to help you not just like, look, let's hope we never have a global pandemic again, but it's going to happen. It's going to help you. I know every time I say that, I'm like, I want to knock on wood. Can you hear my dogs?
That's okay. I'm actually waiting for mine because I don't actually have headphones in. And so I'm like, I'm waiting for him to start talking to your dogs. So
but they're like right outside my door. I'm like, why are you out there?
Oh, it's totally fine. My dog, by the way, everyone on this podcast has heard my dog Duncan 100 times. He's sleeping right now, but any minute he could talk to your dog. So they're totally fine. Okay. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Lily and Kelly are really intrigued in this conversation. So the last one is that cash burn. And so this is your monthly operating expenses on average, same report. So I'm not asking you to run a million different reports. Just want you to look at the P&L for the last 12 to 24 months and find the average monthly operating expense. Then you're going to add on average, how much are you taking as owner's draws and debt payments? So we're going to take that income statement and that balance sheet. We're going to add them together. And by finding this information, we can now set a goal. One, we now know this is how much revenue we need to have in our business just to break even, mm-hmm. not for profit, but for cash. So this is the amount that we need in order for us to break even for revenue. And two, now we know how much we need to save. And we suggest to all of our clients have at least 3 months worth of this amount in your savings account. So now we have a goal, and it doesn't mean you're going to get there overnight, but you can start slowly saving over time because you know how much cash, not profit, your business is using on a monthly basis.
That's awesome. That was very clear and concise, and that's perfect. What are some things that pop out at you usually, you know, maybe just generally in when you're looking at the income statement or your P&L, where you really try to get the owner's attention? And for example, just a random example, like say their operating costs in total are like 85% of the business, right? You're like, what's going on here? And then what are some of those things that you maybe see where owners are like, oh, I didn't even realize that. Are there some things that usually pop out at you?
Yeah. So we run a report called the profit and loss as a percentage of sales for every single one of our clients. And I love this report.
Again, is why I don't mean to interrupt, but this is again, why QuickBooks is awesome, because you can do these type of filters and it tells you so much about what's happening in your business.
Yes, exactly. So this report, you can run it again, last 12 months. So I like to do everything on the last 12 months, because if you do it for just last month, you can get stuck in just, is this an anomaly? So do it for the last 12 months and then drill in. So you can see by looking at that report, how much of your revenue is going to these specific categories. So when we do our structuring for our clients, we group together advertising and marketing. We group together facility costs. We group together operating, and then we group together payroll, and there's a few other categories. So you can see where all of your money is going. And this is really important. So in your example, if somebody is taking 85% of their revenue and is paying it back out in operating expenses, that would lead me to several questions and ask, what season of your business are you in? So if you are in a season of business where you are spending a lot of money investing in building your business, so maybe you are building your advertising and marketing campaigns to bring new clients in the door. Maybe you're in a season of hiring contractors and employees so that you're not the one doing everything anymore. And so, or maybe this is the year that you became an S corp and you put yourself on payroll. So you had a major shift where those dollars are no longer showing up as distributions. Those dollars are showing up as an operating expense. So I would automatically say to that client, what season of your business are you in? And is this deliberate, or are we catching you off guard? We had a client a few years ago who came to us that said, Danielle, I need you to help me operate my business at a loss. And I'm like, what the heck? Okay. So we did a catch up. I'm like, all right, you know, I won't say no. We did what we call a catch up, and we brought all of her transactions into QuickBooks for the year. So started with January, and this was about the October time frame. Brought it all into QuickBooks, and we showed her where she was spending money, and we realized why she thought she was taking a loss, right? We had some cash issues. But what we realized most importantly was that she was in a season of her business that she was really reinvesting. Mm. She was doing a lot of networking, a lot of traveling. She was putting on live events within the community, trying to really build this empire, really build this community. And once she understood that, once she could see it, she went from the scarcity mindset. Mm. Like she completely transformed her business. The next year she said, now my mindset is I'm confident. Mm-hmm. I can spend money with confidence because I know what season I'm in. She's been a long time client. So we've watched her go from a season of reinvestment. So then she said, I need to buy a home. So now I'm in a season of, I need to get paid as a business owner. We watched her hire contractors, her first few employees, and then get herself on payroll, pay herself, and slowly save to, she bought that home last year. But these are all the things that you can do when you're asking the question of what season of my business am I in? And what's my intention for this year? Am I high growth mode? Am I personal yep. investment mode? Am I buying a house mode? Like, what is my mode and my intention for this year?
Yeah, that's so great. And I think that's what the numbers can tell us too, right? If you're a new business, like just starting out, your growth potential is huge because you're starting from nowhere, right? But then also there are additional expenses, especially in healthcare and wellness. If you're a brick and mortar location, for sure, there's rent. And right now, you know, first, last security, whatever that's going in. If you have to buy equipment, you know, with Pilates studios, the equipment is very expensive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to do financing. So that goes on your balance sheet, right? There's all sorts of things. And I think that's so important that you can tell people, like, that you bring that up, that it's what stage of your business are you in? So if you're in a huge growth stage, then yeah, you are going to be spending more on marketing and advertising. And if you're at a capacity stage, I still always love to spend money on marketing, but it probably won't be a huge part of my budget. Yeah. You know, it will be less. And then some of my other expenses go up, right? I have a full staff. I have employees. That was a big transition in our industry. Huge. When I transitioned people from contractors to employees.
Huge.
And a lot of business owners are scared of this. I talk about this a lot. I was the one too. Like, I'm not going to say I was, you know, my HR, my attorney and my accountant are like, we're not sure how you skirted this line so long, but like you did. And, you know, it saves us a little money and people are afraid of the increased expense. But in the 2 years after that, it's just been so, the amount that I can now provide to my staff and my employees, and I can give them benefits and time off and all of this amazing stuff. And it's been really great. I mean, the, what I pay out has kind of like been returned to me in perpetuity, I would say. It's great. So
yeah.
What are something like, so I just had this conversation with one of our business, so the same person who I told, please come to the next call with QuickBooks. When you hear from business owners, oh, I have really good profit. I had an amazing January. I'm still not paying myself, but we're doing great. I mean, I'm hoping that was going to be your response, because that's usually my response. I'm like, okay.
Huh. I guess define great to me.
I'm like, I don't care if it's a dollar, you have to start paying yourself something.
Yeah. So I get how scary it is, right? Hiring our first contractors, scary. Hiring our first employees, scary. Taking an owner's draw, scary, right? Getting on payroll can be pretty scary. However, imagine if you're making all those decisions, knowing your numbers, right? Mm-hmm. It's not so scary, actually. We just had a client. I was on a client call the other day where she has a few contractors thinking about doing employees. We have this beautiful worksheet that we put together that says, here are all the cost of hiring an employee. Here's how long we expect them to take to get up to capacity. All right. We walked through all of the numbers and then we threw it in her income statement. And we said, if you had this employee last year, you still would have been profitable. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. still would have had a profit. You still would have had cash. And that's not even including the revenue they would have generated. That's not even including the time you would have gotten back to bring in more revenue or to do something better with your time. And so just imagine making all those decisions with confidence. I think it's by saying, but I'm doing fine, or but I'm doing good. I just ask you to define that to yourself.
Right.
Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what was the goal when you became your business owner? Even if you're an accidental business owner, we have a lot of clients who say, I'm the accidental entrepreneur. And so all of a sudden I had to do all of this stuff. Doesn't matter. You are still a business owner. Yeah. I think it's radical ownership.
Yeah.
You chose to take money from a client. Right. So now you're a business owner.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of put it back in their plate when they're like, well, and I get it too. In the end, there were definitely days where I sacrificed salary to keep the business afloat. Like there might be times in the business, but when you look at your numbers, you can prepare for those accordingly. Right. And I tell women this a lot too. I was like, would you work for somebody else for free? Would you put in as many hours and dedication as you are right now for somebody else for free? I'm like, no,
absolutely
not. But why would you do it? Why you're doing it to yourself? So, but again, with someone like you that can sit down with them and say, this is what your numbers are telling us in your business. How about we start with this amount and you're still going to be profitable. You're still going to be profitable. So it's kind of like that back and forth. And I think what's helpful when you work with someone like you is that I don't want to say you're not emotionally invested, but you're emotionally invested in the client, but you can look at the numbers from an objective perspective. And so I think that that is super, super powerful to help, especially women, you know, especially
because it's emotional, right? It is emotional. It can be. And I know you and I mentioned this before we pressed record. There's this report card effect. And I always like to mention this because we grew up getting a report card and it was this judgment time. You know, I got in trouble if I wasn't getting good grades. And so I think that we bring that into entrepreneurship with us. Like financial statements are somehow our report card of failing. And it's not. They're data points, they're lessons, they're opportunities. And if we can overcome the fear and the avoidance around it, we can accept them as data points and learn and grow and become better entrepreneurs, right? Or healthy, sustainable businesses that we could have for the long haul.
Yeah, for sure. And some of the things that it does help in business, especially in the service-based business, you know, you can look at your numbers and figure out, my goal is, you know, to hit, I don't know, a revenue goal or a profit goal, right? And then you can go backwards from there. Okay. How do I need to get there? So based on your expenses, you can figure out, you know, and this is where spreadsheets do help. You know, you can figure out if I raise my prices by $5, $10, this is what it will do to my bottom line, right? If I add more capacity, this is what it will do to my bottom line. If I add an additional service, this is what it will do to my bottom line, right? If maybe people are, and we've done this in a lot of people in our groups, is we may have to restructure their model. Maybe what they're paying out is not congruent or not in a line with what they're bringing in. And so it just gives you the opportunity to say, okay, what is going to have the biggest effect on my bottom line, right? And what might be the lowest hanging fruit, right? Why do XYZ when this other option over here could be easier to institute, right? And so having somebody like you be able to sit down and put that big picture together, I think is really, really powerful. So many people just choose their prices. I don't know, like that's what Joe Schmo down the street charges. And so that's what I'm going to charge.
It really is. Yeah.
You know, and is, I'm going to pay this person. Oh, I don't know. That's what I saw on Instagram. And like, that's what I'm going to pay them. There should be a rhyme and a reason as to why you charge this and what you pay out. And I mean, would you agree? I'm assuming you would agree with that.
Well, I think it's okay to start that way. So I go back to seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So we all remember, you know, our day one. So for anybody who's been in business for a while, you can remember your day one. We work with a lot of clients who were the accidental entrepreneur, right? So they threw together some pricing because they maybe had a friend who said, hey, can you help me with this? I'll pay you. And they threw together some pricing and they probably did go look on the website of two or three other people who are local to them or online and said, oh, this is what they're charging. I'm going to charge that to this friend as well. And then all of a sudden they had 25 friends and they are still using the same pricing. This is where we can use it at learn as a data point. Mm-hmm. Okay. With these 25 friends that are paying me this, what did that do? Right. It's a question. We just have to learn to ask ourselves questions. Was I able to pay myself? Did I have good work-life balance? Was I able to bring on any other team members? Like, what else is going on in the business under that data point? Okay, maybe that's not the right pricing for me because I couldn't actually pay myself, or I wasn't able to meet any other goal except for servicing those 25 clients. So now I have data points where I can make some changes. And same thing with payouts. This is one that even more than pricing, we see with our clients that say, well, that team member's been here since day one. And so they get more than everybody else because I made a mistake and got into a contract with them and I can't make any changes. It's a hard lesson to learn, but a lot of our clients learn it once or twice because you probably got the contract from looking up something online and figuring or whatever they asked for, you did because you were desperate and you didn't hire quick enough, right? So you're desperate and you're scared, but that's okay. Right. I just always want to go back to no judgment, right? Like this is, my favorite yoga instructor says no judgment, no bias. And so I lead everything in my life with that. We don't have to judge ourselves for the way we did our pricing. We don't have to judge ourselves for the way we did those payouts. We can let it go, learn from them as data points and just move on.
Yeah. That's such great advice because, you know, and I do think knowledge is power. And so when you know better, you do better. I think that was a quote from Maya Angelou, like when you do what you know how to do until you know better. And then when you know better, you do better. So I think this was really great. I'd love for you to share with us where people can go to learn more about you and your services. And we're obviously going to link all of your links and everything up in the show notes, but give a shout out to where people can go find you and pay you money.
KickstartAccountingInc.com is the best place. You can book a call to talk about your specific situation. There's an opportunity there. You can also tune into our podcast, Entrepreneur Money Stories. So if this is a topic that you are really struggling with and you want to just learn more, or you're a business owner that's growing and thriving and you want more of these tactical applications, we have a lot of episodes that are action packed with what specific steps you can use in order to make financial business decisions in your business. So KickstartAccountingInc.com and Entrepreneur Money Stories.
Awesome. I definitely recommend checking out the podcast. It's like she said, it's very actionable, which I think is great because as business owners, most of us don't have a ton of time. And so like get down to the nitty gritty. Yes. This is good to go. So
let's get to the point.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Be sure to check out her podcast. Also check out her, we're going to link everything up in the show notes, like I said, but go to her website, take a look. It was hiring a bookkeeper, you know, was the best decision I ever made. And it was the first hire. So I think I can't speak enough about how much it's helped me grow in my business. So Danielle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Until next time, everyone, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Female Empowered. If you like what we covered today, please leave a review for the show. This helps other female fitness and wellness professionals find the podcast and lets me know I'm sharing helpful information with all of you. If you'd love to get even more insights and find resources to help you market, streamline, and grow your clinic or client-based business, you can visit me at KristaGurka.com or follow me on Instagram at KristaGurka. That's at C-H-R-I-S-T-A-G-U-R-K-A. See y'all next time.